I saw my father do some things to my mom, and that stayed with me and stayed with me. And I said, that was not the type of man that I was going to marry. That was what I said. I kept that in my mind. But I had not healed. So he was the only model of a man that I saw. So what I did, I attracted the same type of man. Even though I was trying not to, I did it anyway. So we have to know our triggers, and we have to know what happens in our earlier life can affect our life as we get older until we heal from it.
Welcome to Sherry Speaks Life Podcast. I am your host, Sherry Jones, and I am so excited to come before you today for today's episode. I am your Speak Life coach, and here on this podcast, we talk about speaking life. We talk about the words that we say, the power of the words that we say. And for me, speaking life is taking our negative words and thoughts and transforming them into positive ones rooted in the Word of God. And today, we have an amazing guest in Miss Kathleen Strozier. She is absolutely amazing. When we met, prepping for this episode today, she just lit up on the screen. We haven't had the opportunity to meet in person, but she just has such a beautiful spirit and a powerful testimony. And the message that we are going to share today, I know is going to be impactful. And what we're talking about is, what are you attracting? A lot of times we go through tests and trials in our life. We go through trauma, we go through dysfunction, and then we think we're healed, we think we delivered, but we end up attracting the same type of people over and over again. And so she's going to help us talk a little bit about that and how we can break the cycle. She has an amazing book. She's a mom, a grandmama, a minister of the gospel, just an amazing woman of God. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring her up, but before I do that, please go ahead and share this broadcast. If you are watching on Facebook, please share. If you are watching on YouTube, listening on the podcast, however you are tuning in, please share, 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 because this conversation is going to bless somebody. So without further ado, Miss Kathleen Strozier.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you
I
today?
am wonderful. How Good morning to everybody that is watching.
Yes, good morning to everyone. And we appreciate them tuning in, listening, watching, however. And we appreciate you and your yes for joining us today. And I'm excited to dive into this conversation. So the first thing that I ask all of my guests is, what does speaking life mean to you? Can you share with us a little bit of what speaking life means to you?
Yes, I can. Speaking life means speaking positive things to yourself and about yourself. You know, we have a tendency to always want to look at the negative. We always want to look at things that are like on the negative side. But we have to understand that when we speak things out of our mouths, then that's what we actually put into action. Even though we don't mean to, that's what we make happen. Like if I say, oh, I'm going to have a bad day. Well, guess what? You're going to have a bad day. You don't know what's going to happen, but something will happen. But if we always have positive things in our mind, in our words, then it will help out. We also have to understand God made us in his image. And he said everything that he made was good and very good. So if he made everything good and very good, how in the world can we say negative things about ourselves and about others? So we're going to change that narrative. It's going to always be positive affirmation every day from morning to the time you put your head on the pillow.
Exactly. I love that. I love, like you said, he made us and he said it was good and very good. So
Right.
if the God of the universe, you know, that created everything said that we are good, who are we to say the opposite? who are we to say the opposite? So thank exactly. you. Thank you so much. Oh, yes, ma'am. I understand, child. My voice be cutting up and I have to drink something too. But yes, thank you so much for that definition. That was so, so powerful. And so, Kathleen, I know that you have a powerful testimony. I know that you have overcome a lot in your life, trauma, dysfunction. You all have a copy of her book. You all may not be able to see it because of the ring light, but it's this Attracting Abuse and Dysfunction, Overcoming Pain to Find Purpose. And I've already started diving in. And I love that in the book as well, you kind of give us a definition. You explain to us what is abuse, what is dysfunction. You dive into that. But as Holy Spirit leads you, do you mind just sharing some of your testimony and kind of tell us how Speaking Life played a part in your journey?
Yeah, I don't mind. Growing up, I had lots of things to happen, as I talked about in the book, which I'm not going to tell you because I want you to purchase that book and read it for yourself. But growing up, my life was what I would say it was just filled with a lot of things. A lot of things happened when I was a child. A lot of things happened when I was a teenager. A lot of things happened as I got older. But it was not until I was in my mid-40s, almost 50s, that it hit me that everything that I was looking for stem from my childhood, from something that I was looking for, but I didn't know that I was looking for it. I was looking for love. I was looking for happiness. I was looking for that happy ever after. So while I was looking for all of that, I was looking at the wrong people. I was looking for like that guy who told me, "I love you. You're my world, da 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 da." Because I thought they was telling me the truth. And it wasn't always true. But I held on to that because I was just looking for someone to love me like I love. Anyone who knows me knows I love hard. I love hard and I love like to the end. But I had to learn everybody doesn't do the same way. But it took me a minute. But, you know, my thing is, okay. So I had like some abuse as a child, you know, from somebody in my family, molestation. I saw my father do some things to my mom, and that stayed with me and stayed with me. And I said, that was not the type of man that I was going to marry. That was what I said. I kept that in my mind. But I had not healed. So he was the only model of a man that I saw. So what I did, I attracted the same type of man. Even though I was trying not to, I did it anyway. So we have to know our triggers. And we have to know what happens in our earlier life can affect our life as we get older until we heal from it. We have to heal. And that's a big part. We have to heal. And part of healing means you have to learn to forgive. That's the hard part, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard mm-hmm. part. Because I'm like, how am I going to forgive you? And you hurt me, but you have right. to. You have
yeah.
to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, oof, you just said a whole mouthful right there with the forgiveness. I mean, that is definitely a huge part of it. I can definitely relate to, you know, looking for love in the wrong places, thinking you're healed, but you're really not, you know, right. and having to do that work to dive a little deeper. And I know, as well in your book, you know, of course, you go into detail as to right. the things that you experienced. And you mentioned that you didn't really realize it until you were in your 40s, that, you know, you weren't fully healed and that you needed to realize that you were attracting the wrong people. Can you right. Elaborate just a little bit more on that and kind of tell us what led you to kind of recognize those signs and how can we recognize the signs in our life that we're still, you know, going through that cycle of our past trauma, thinking we're healed, but we're really not? How do we evaluate ourselves and kind of really recognize that?
Well, you have to look at yourself and look at the type of people that you have in your circle. And what I mean by look at yourself, you have to look at the things that you do, because even though you say that's not what I planning to do, we don't plan to do a lot of things. They just happen. But look at the type of people that you are around. And if for me, because I had this thing about I didn't feel that I was worth a lot. So what I did, I settled for less. I settled for that person that came up and they showed me the first little glimpse of something that I didn't have at home. So I went that way. I thought I was good. But what I had actually done was swept the things under the carpet. And you know, we keep sweeping things under the rug, sweeping things under the rug. And eventually you're going to have a mound this high. And once you do, eventually you're going to fall over that. You're going to fall and you're going to hit your head and you're going to say, hey, I keep doing the same thing. And what do they say? Keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's insanity. And it was insane. But what I was doing, I was blaming the guys. I was blaming them, because I'm like, now I'm out here loving you. I'm out here doing my best, trying to be the best girlfriend, trying to be the best wife, trying to be the best everything. But you're out here just doing crazy stuff. Why don't you love me the way I love you? Why don't you support me the way I support you? It took me that long until I understood. It wasn't them. It was me. It was not them. It was me. Because I was looking for that Hallmark ending. I was looking for that Lifetime thing that I saw on the movies, that I read in the book. Because I used to watch Hallmark every day, Lifetime every day. And why? Because those stories had happy endings. So I thought life was like that. I thought one day I was going to have a life just like that, that had a happy ending. So that's what I was looking for. And then I was saying, Lord, I just want a man to love me. I just want this. I wanted that. But I wasn't specific. I didn't say I wanted a man that only loved one woman. That was me.
Wow.
I didn't say that. I just said I wanted him to love me. So they did in their own way, but it wasn't the way that I needed them. But I also had to think, how could they love me? I didn't really love myself, because I didn't really know myself. I thought I did, but I really didn't. So you have to make sure that when you pray, and when you ask God if for something, he says he already knows, but we need to be specific in what we ask for. And that's in every aspect of our lives.
Girl, okay. it was so much what you just said, which is so important. When you said, yes, definitely pray specifically. And it was that one word. That's the whole thing. It's like one word could be the key to unlocking the things that we've been going through and stopping the cycles that we're going through. You didn't ask him for somebody that only loved you.
Right.
That would be faithful and loyal to you.
And I did not.
We do miss that. We do miss that as women. We're just like, oh, I just want somebody to love me, going to treat me right. You know, like treat me like the Hallmark man, you know, whatever, like you said.
Right.
And it's just that one key word. We got to be specific. And then I love what you're saying about evaluating yourself and checking your circle.
Right.
I think that's something, especially as we get older, our circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Not saying that we don't meet new people and we make friends, but that those close friends, that inner circle, it's not as big as it was when you were a teenager and you thought everybody was your friend. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But,
right.
But you have to evaluate, like you said, evaluate the people around you, their character, what they're doing. Oh, that was so impactful. Audience, I hope y'all are tracking that. I hope y'all are tracking that, the importance of self-evaluation. And similar to you, Kathleen, I went through a situation as well with a relationship, and I had to recognize my part in it. Because it's so right. easy to point fingers at the other person. What they say, you pointing a finger at that person, there's like three fingers pointing back at you, or four fingers exactly. pointing back at you. And so evaluating yourself and your part in things and recognizing that you do play a part, not right. saying that everything is your fault. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that you play a part in it, and you have to recognize yourself and your stuff and what right. you need to heal from so you can move right. forward.
That's right. So and let me good. Just add something right there. When you mm-hmm. said that, I thought of something. What I had to do was when I learned, hey, you had a part in this. It was something that you didn't do. You were trying to put the blame on them, but you had to take some of that blame back on yourself. So what I did, I contacted each of them and apologized. Now that was kind of hard because Ooh. I'm like, but I had to apologize because I was wrong in some areas. So my thing has always been, if I'm wrong, I will apologize. And I had to apologize. And when I did that, they was like, well, why are you apologizing now? Okay, this is what God told me to do. Mm-hmm. God told me in order for me to fully heal, I had to apologize. There were steps that I had to take. So that's what I did. So it's up to you whether you accept it or not. But I've done what I needed to do because I knew it wasn't all about them. Mm-hmm. I was there too. I played a part. I could have opened my mouth and say, hey, this is not working, this is not what I need, but this is what I need from you. But I mm-hmm. didn't. I chose to accept it because I just wanted them to be in my life.
Yeah, because we're so afraid of being alone right. or being without that love that we're looking for, that we hold right. on to stuff longer than we need to. Because once that right. first sign comes, and like you said, you know, red flags,
right,
we have all kind of red flags that we ignore, and
we do.
And, you know, when we see that first red flag, that's time to get out of Dodge. But we don't right. because we're mm-mm. still holding on to, you know, oh, but he loves me.
Oh, but I can fix it. You can't fix him.
You can't fix that man. We do think we can fix people, though. And it's not just our relationships. You know, for our single right. people out there that may not be in a relationship, you think you can fix that family member.
Exactly.
No, ma'am.
You
no,
can't.
No, ma'am. Pam, you can't. They are who they are, and
exactly.
you have to act accordingly. I always quote my aunt.
Exactly.
When people show you who they are, believe them.
Believe them.
And act accordingly. That's what I say.
That
whatever
part.
That means for you. Whatever that part.
Right.
Yes. And so, Kathleen, you kind of already tapped into with my next thing I wanted to tap into with you about the self-love piece and also recognizing the love of God. Because as you said, we can't fully receive love until we love ourselves and accept
right.
who we are. And so for our audience out there, they may be thinking, that doesn't make sense to attract, you know, the wrong people or attracting things that you don't want. Maybe they're kind of having a struggle comprehending that. But we know it's rooted in the messaging and the experiences that we had when we were young, like you said as well. And I always right. tell people something that happened when you were 5, it still impacts you at 50.
Right.
And that's the part that we have to recognize. So can you talk to us a little bit about the self-love piece and the accepting the love of God? And how that plays in the healing process.
Right. You have to first love yourself. You have to love that person that you see every day in the mirror. But let me tell you what I found out. I found out a lot of people do not really look at themselves in the mirror. because they don't like what they see. So they just go in there and they only look maybe in the morning when they're like washing their face or whatever, but that's it. And for us, you know, we may like look at ourselves when we like getting dressed in the morning, putting on our eyeshadow, mascara, whatever, doing our hair, but we're not really looking at ourselves. We're just looking to get dressed. We're just looking to actually correct things so that way we can go outside. But what you have to do is you have to actually love yourself, love that person, so that way that you can teach somebody else how to love you and what you need. And we have to show our real self, not our representative. And also, if you're looking for love, you want to make sure that you meet that real person, not their representative, not that one that you meet after what, 2 weeks, a month, and they're all just peaches and cream. They're like giving you flowers, saying all the right things, asking you what do you like, asking you what do you like to do. Don't tell them what you're looking for in a man. Don't say, I want a man who takes me out. I want a man who do this. I want a man who do that. When you tell them that, that's what they're going to do until they hook you. And when they hook you, all that goes out of the window. So no, don't give them that type of thing. Tell them that, you know, you like a man that has a plan. You like a man who knows what he wants to do in the future. So that's not something that he can do in a week or a month or even 6 months. No. So that way you'll see. And then at that time, you are going to know whether or not he's really into you or not. You're going to know if that's the real him or that's the fake him. Because one thing about a man, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, I'm saying this from things that I have experienced. We're only going to do things for a short amount of time until we can get what we want, or until we have you in a place where we feel that we can manipulate you or we can do things and you'll do what we want to do. So we're going to say all those right things. We're going to do all those right things. That's why it's important that you're with a person in the different seasons. See how they act. Hear how they talk about others, because how they talk about others may be how they're talking about you when you're not around. But also you have to know, God loves you and he sent his son down here to die for you. So if he loves you, I need for you to have that same love that God has for you. Know that you are worth only the best. Only the best. Know that you not only should have the best, you deserve the best. Because God said that he made you. And he said you can have whatever, even if that means you have to have it by yourself. You don't always have to have a man in your life or a woman in your life. I had to learn that. I thought, I had to have somebody in my life at all times. But I didn't. I did not. Because in all of that, that did not allow me time to know who I was. Because I was always somebody's child, somebody's wife, somebody's mother. But I needed to learn how to be me. I need to learn how to be myself and how to do things that I wanted to do and not just do things because it was what was expected or I wanted to make others happy. I had to learn how to make me happy. And once I learned that, life started looking a lot differently. But a lot of people also said, you just so mean. You're just so blunt. I'm not. I'm just real me now. So take me or leave me, but you're not going to play with me. My thing is, don't play with me. Don't play with me at all. Like that movie, I can do bad all by myself.
What?
I can do bad by myself, but I'm not going to do that. I've done bad. They tell me to do something differently.
I'm just taking in everything that you just said because it was just so rich, especially when you were talking about that we don't really just look at ourselves. Right. I thought about that thing. I was like, no, you really don't. Like, when's the last time you really looked in the mirror and really looked at who you are, you know, how God right. created you and saw beauty in it? Because when right. we look at ourselves in the mirror, we look at all the stuff that we need to correct, or we look at all the stuff that we don't like. And,
yes.
you know, my eyes too big, my lips too big, my nose too spread, well, all this old foolishness, instead of like really taking in who God created us to be. Right. And then when you talked about the representative, child, we all be walking around and with the representative.
Exactly.
But when you were saying you got to, you have to see people in different seasons, like you said. And what came to mind was like, you need to see somebody when they're angry.
Right.
You need to see somebody when they don't agree with you.
Right.
You need to see how they act.
Right.
And that would give you the telltale sign, because if everybody's not going to always agree with you and it's all peaches and creams and all that kind of stuff, you need to see them when they get upset or when you all right. get in a disagreement. And yes. that's family members, friends, everybody. You need to know who they really are. And right. like you said, taking that time to get to know them, to know that you're not just looking at the representative, but you're right. looking at the real, real person.
Exactly.
And when you were talking about just knowing who you are, that's something that I had to go through. I've talked here on the broadcast, you know, I see a counselor just in the past couple of years to work through some things in my own life. And that was one of the first things she asked me. She said, well, Sherry, who are you? You know, I couldn't answer that question.
Right.
Because I was like, well, I'm Willie wife and Devin mom. And
yeah, but that's not you.
I got a podcast and I got a women's ministry and I, you know, I could list all the stuff that I do, but that's right. not who you are. That's what we have to realize as women, men too, but especially women, checking off what you do. That's not telling somebody who you right. are. Who are
it's
you?
Not.
And right. and what do you like about you? What do you like to do? I had to figure out what she asked me. Well, what do you like to do? I don't know.
Yeah.
Lose yourself, you know?
Yeah, that's right. My daughter, she had asked me this way back. She was like, but mom, what is it that you like to do? I said, well, I like to do what other people like to do. Either like, you know, like going out to eat. If, you know, if a person invite me out, they are like, what you want to eat? Well, it's up to you. No, it's not up to you. What do I like to eat? I need to say what I like to eat. I like to say what type of things I like to do. But I always want to tiptoe around people because my thing is I want to make everybody happy. I want everybody to like me. I just wanted them to feel that I was the best mom, the best wife, the best girlfriend. That was exhausting. It was exhausting because you're trying to be the best person, trying to be this and that. But that's not the real you. But you're trying to uphold that and you're trying to keep that going and going, going, going. You can't do that for the entire relationship, marriage. Because as you say, one day you're going to get upset. They're going to get upset. And that's when the real ones will come out. So you need to be the real you. Let them see you. And if once they see you, if that's not the person that they want or they like, it's best if you know now. It's best if
exactly.
you know early in the game before you get too invested. So,
yeah, that's true, girl. And now you talking about that with that people pleasing?
Yeah,
that's about the most exhausting existence ever.
It really is.
It's like, who got tired of me trying to please everybody else? Yeah, I'm just trying to be me.
Right.
Exactly. But I did want to acknowledge a couple of the comments here. I see Jody says, we have to be happy in ourselves before we can truly be happy with someone else. So true. So true. Pastor Erica saying amen to everything what we're saying. And then Reverend Jody is also saying, I can do good by myself. I know
yes,
that's right.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. You do not have to have somebody in order to do good. You can
exactly.
do good by yourself. And so, Kathleen, this conversation has been rich. And so I know the people are out there and they're like, wow, they're saying some good stuff. I'm tracking what they're saying. But maybe they just still don't really know how to get started, you know, or what's the first thing they need to do. Maybe they're recognizing, oh, I got some negative people in my life. I'm continuing to attract the same people and I want to get off mm-hmm. this cycle. I want to love myself. But what's maybe a couple of tips that you can give them as far as how to get started on that journey?
Okay. First thing is you have to acknowledge your pain, acknowledge your trauma, because until you actually acknowledge that something happened, then you can't deal with it. Then you have to know it's not your fault. Whatever happened, it was not your fault. You had nothing to do with that. You may have played a part in it, but it was not your fault. It's not your fault that somebody hurt you as a child. That wasn't your fault. You could not control that. Then you have to speak positive affirmations to yourself daily. Daily. And I'm just going to tell you this. I'm just going to throw this out there. Anybody who know me, they know me. You know, and, you know, I'm not saying this in a bad way or anything, but look at yourself every day. What I do every day when I get out of the shower before I get dressed, look in the mirror. I said positive things about myself. Yeah, I could stand to lose maybe 15, 20 or more pounds, but that's not going to happen by the time I get dressed. So I'm going to say something positive about myself right there looking at myself. Now, back way back, I was that person, I did not look at myself in the mirror because I could find 100 things about myself that I didn't like. But if you ask me to tell you 2 positive things, it will take me forever to think about it. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So every day, look at yourself and speak positive things about yourself and pray. Pray and ask God to allow you to love the you that He created. Ask Him to allow you to walk in what He would have you to do, not what you want to do, what He would have you to do. And then you have to forgive. That's a big one. You have to forgive yourself for things that happen. You have to forgive others. But that's going to take time. That's not something that's going to happen like overnight. And if so, you're lying to yourself. You're not healed. You cannot heal that quickly. And counseling. You might need some counseling, but you know, we don't want to do that. But you probably, if something happened to you very traumatic, you need some counseling. You need to talk to somebody. And I don't mean your sister or your cousin or your auntie. No, no, no. Because they're going to be biased. They're not going to really tell you the truth. They'll tell you, oh, I'm going to tell you the truth, girl. No, they're not. Because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Go to a professional. And if you cannot afford one, look around for those agencies where you can speak with somebody free or on a sliding scale, but you need to have counseling. And then you have to have that ugly cry and that screaming session. And when I mean that ugly cry, I mean that ugly cry where like tears running out of your face, the stuff is running out of your nose, you're just screaming, screaming, screaming. If that's not possible at home, then you need to go out somewhere where it's really noisy. And just park in your car or whatever and just scream and let it out. Just let all that out that you've been holding in. And once that is over and done with, tell yourself, I'm going to let this go. because I can't handle it. I'm going to let it go. God, I'm going to let you have it and let you put me back together because we're broken. He will put you back together piece by piece in the way that you should have been before you start trying to handle things on your own. So make sure that you first acknowledge positive things, forgive, counseling, and have that ugly cry. And you'll be able to get through it. And then in all of this, make sure you write things down. Write things down. Write down each day how you felt. Write down, okay, so like today I had this to happen, so I cried about it. Write it down. Write it down. And then later on, you can go back and you can look at, okay, so this happened. So when this happened, I cried about it. I did this, I did that. So that way you'll know. And each time that you write, then you'll know it should be on later on. You shouldn't have to do as much. And once you do, you'll know that you're on the right road to healing. But you have to do those steps. It's not something that you can just say, oh, I'm going to heal from that. No, sweetie, that doesn't happen. You may want to, but it doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm. So good. Such great tips. I mean, wow. I hope y'all were taking notes. But if you weren't taking notes, go back and watch the replay and take notes. I mean, because that was so good. Acknowledge.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then, oh, what was the after acknowledge? I done lost it already. Acknowledge.
Speak positive affirmations.
Oh, yeah, the affirmation. Daily. That's right. Positive affirmations, forgiveness, and the counseling, and then have that ugly cry.
Yes.
Get it all out. Get it all out. Get it out. Sometimes it's hard for us to get it out because we feel like, well, I'm not supposed to cry or, you know, whatever the case may be. But yeah, get it out. So, so good. Such amazing tips. I appreciate this. And so, Kathleen, before the broadcast, I asked you for a scripture because we always bring it to the word here on Sherry Speaks Life podcast. And you shared Ecclesiastes 3. But what I'm going to do is I just pulled verses 1-6. But we asked that you all read the entire chapter of Ecclesiastes 3. And she chose the King James Version. So I am going to read it. I'm going to put it on the screen, but then also read it for the benefit of our podcast listeners, and then we will ask you to expound and just let us know kind of how this scripture played a part in your healing.
Okay.
So the first part, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. That's Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1-6, King James Version. So, Kathleen, tell us a little bit about this scripture and why you chose it and its impact on your journey.
Yes, this is maybe one of my favorite scriptures. And this is something that I read a lot and I say a lot because everything is about time. But it's not our time. It's God's time. But also in this scripture, it talks about it's a time for everything. So what this means to me is I cannot control what happens in my life. I cannot control life because it's not my time. It's God's time. God had already ordained everything that would happen in my life before I was even born. He knew when I was going to do this. He knew when I was going to do that. He knew how this was going to happen. I didn't know, but he allowed me to walk in that. At times I was walking, I couldn't handle it. I fell down. I thought I can't handle this at this time. God said, you can handle it because it's not time. When I did this, I was trying to control, because anybody who knows me know I'm a planner and I like to control things. I do. I'll be the first to admit. I like to know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. Folks talk about me. But I thought that I had to do things. I had to control things. And I learned I can't control anything. I was just getting frustrated and upset because I was trying to do it. And then I was also in my trying to control it. I was trying to rush it because I wanted to see what was going to happen when I did this. So I missed all that was happening in the middle because I was too focused on what was going to happen at the end. So I missed a lot of things because I was trying to do it my way. I was trying to tell God how I wanted him to do things in my life instead of saying, God, let thy will be done. Do it in your time. I was like, but God, I need you to do this and this and this. And I want to have this by this time. And I want to do this by this time. That wasn't up to me. That was up to him. So then I started saying, Lord, lead me, guide me, show me how what you would have for me to do. And Lord, let thy will be done in your time, not in my time. And Lord, all I want to do is to do your will. I just want to be a willing vessel for you. That's what I want to do, because I've done things in my time. I've done things my way. It didn't work out. It didn't work out at all because I was trying to control everything that happened. Writing this book, I tried years and years ago. I couldn't do it because it wasn't time. I couldn't understand why it wasn't time. It wasn't time because I was not fully healed. Two, I was still trying to people please. Three, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted. I knew I was a minister, so that means I'm supposed to preach. Okay. Just because you're a minister doesn't mean that means you have to preach and stand in the pulpit. No. You can minister and go out to others. You can minister every day. You can minister when you're in the store, hair store, having your hair done at the doctor's office. No, God said there's a time for everything in your life. It's a time for you to lose, and you will lose some things. But if you trust him and let him lead you, he'll help you in that time of loss. You're going to cry. You're going to cry. You're going to weep. You're going to be sad. But that don't mean that you have to give up, because he's still with you. But there's also a time when you're going to have joy. You're going to have joy, unspeakable joy. And when that joy comes, I need for you to celebrate the joy. Celebrate even the smallest things. Don't wait until the big things happen. Celebrate the small things. And always keep him in the forefront. And he will allow you to know when this time is this time. And like I said, when I did that book, when it came out, I was just like, oh, I finished it. It didn't take that long at all. And I asked myself, girl, what took you so long? Because it wasn't time. It was not time for that book to be published. It was not time. But now is the time, because now others need it just as much as I did. Because I've met so many people that have told me that by meeting me, talking with me, reading my book, that I've helped them to know that it's time for them to start doing things in their life in a different way. So, Ecclesiastes 3. I love it because it tells us it's a time for everything and there's a season. So right now, God is showing me that it's time for you to step out from being in the background. It's time for you to step out. It's time for you to walk out on what I had ordained it for you to do way back when you didn't even know about it. And you don't have to be afraid because I am there with you. You don't have to wonder if you can afford it because what I have for you to do, I will make sure that you have everything that you need. And that is what happened once I turned 60. I decided it was time for me to quit work and retire because I wanted to do more of what God wanted me to do and not what I thought that I had to do. Because I thought I had to have that job. I had to have this amount of money to do this. I realize now I didn't have to have all of that. That was just what I wanted. Because I have not missed the day of food. I have not missed the day of coffee. Anybody know me? I love coffee. I have not missed anything. And I have so much joy now, so much happiness and less stress because I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I'm doing what makes me happy. And I'm doing it in His time. And I don't rush. I don't rush because my thing is it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. And then like my mom, she has this thing about everything happens for a reason. I used to say, why she said it all the time? But now I know because everything does happen for a reason. Not in my time, but God's time.
So good. So good. Thank you so much for that reminder. Everything is in God's time. And it's amazing. A lot of people do things like in a milestone, like you hit that milestone of 60 and realize that it was time, that God was calling you to do something different. I hit 50 last year. And, you know, I know a lady, her name's Laura. She started her podcast at 70. I know, you know, people in their 70s that are writing books and doing amazing things. So that lets us know that our later years in life, that doesn't mean that everything stops. That means God still has a purpose and He'll shift us to do something totally different. We just have to be listening and heeding to what He says. And I love when you were talking about, you know, you can minister anywhere. You know, you can evangelize anywhere, share the good news anywhere. And so thank you so much for that reminder of God's time, and His timing is perfect. And there's a time for everything, and we can't control His time. We just got to yield to it and be a willing vessel. I love that.
That's right.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And so I'm going to have you pray us out. But before that, I definitely want the people to connect with you because I know that they have been blessed by this rich conversation. They need to know about getting your book and all of those things. So the first thing I'm going to put up is your name of your book and that they can purchase it on Amazon. And so just anything you want to add, you know, about the book that you want to share with them is, again, it's called Attracting Abuse and Dysfunction, Overcoming Pain to Find Purpose.
Right. They can purchase it also if they contact me and I can have them a copy mail. I can have them an autographed copy mail because the copy they're getting from Amazon is not autographed unless I come to you, unless I'm around you, whatever. But yeah, you can contact me. You can order it that way. And I will make sure that I have it sent to you. I will personalize it for you. Just go out and get it. And the thing is, if not for yourself, get it for someone that you know that needs to. Somebody that you know needs to read this book. They need to heal. They need to overcome the pain to find purpose. And I just, and this is just me. After I had the book published, and then I found this church that I was looking for. I was looking for a church because I was like in between church homes. So what about God led me to Purpose Movement? That's the name of the church.
Look at God.
And I'm like, that's just God right there, because I overcame pain to find purpose. And now I'm at purpose.
Purpose movement. Yeah. Oh, he's so strategic. He is so strategic. And so I just want to let the people know, I put it on the screen, but as well for our podcast listeners, in order to get your autographed copy of the book, yes, you can email Kathleen at k.jabez, which is J-A-B-E-Z 99 at gmail.com. So again, that's k.jabez 99 at gmail.com. So you email her and she can send you an autographed copy, or you can purchase it on Amazon, however you choose to do it. Just get the book. Okay. We just want you to get the book and share the book. And again, just to put the name of it up again, it is called Attracting Abuse and Dysfunction, Overcoming Pain to Find Purpose. Also, you can connect with Kathleen on Facebook, and she is on Facebook as Kathy Redding Strozier. And Strozier is spelled S-T-R-O-Z-I-E-R. So you all make sure that you connect with her on Facebook as well. And for those that are listening on the podcast or watching on YouTube, I will have the links in the description, so you all will be able to link to her. But again, Kathleen, we just enjoyed having you. This was a blessed conversation. I really, really enjoyed it. And so we are going to allow you to go ahead and pray us out. I ask you all as well, stay connected with me. Stay connected with the podcast. We have some great episodes coming up as well. You can connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Sherry Speaks Life. All right. So Kathleen, go ahead and pray us out.
Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you, Lord. We know that you know what we need and when we need it. Keep us in your arms, Jesus. Let us know that anytime that we are weak, you are strong. Let us know that during that time when we feel that we are just us by ourselves, let us know that you are there, because you said you would never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. Let us know that trials will come, things will happen, tears will come, but you're there to help us up, prop us up, and drive away everything that we need for you to do, Lord Jesus. There's nothing that you can't do. If we just lean on you, you will help us, you will guide us. Lord, I pray for everyone that is on this live. I pray for those that will come later on and watch it. Let them know that you have everything that they need. They just have to come to you. They have to say yes to you. They have to yield to you. And once they do, you'll be there to turn everything all the way around. Let them know that it does not matter how far they think they fall. We can never fall too far, that you can't reach down and pick us up. Lord, you'll pick us up and you'll straighten us up and you'll clean us up and you'll put us on the right way. But we just have to be willing. We just have to say, Lord, I give. Lord, I yield. I yield. I yield. I just can't do it by myself. Lord, I'm going to stop right now, because I'm going to let you take control, because your time is not like my time. Lord, I just thank you for this host. Lord, she's so loving. She's so caring. And Lord, she just have blessed my spirit in a mighty way. And I pray that something that I said on this live will help somebody, Jesus. And if so, then my living will not be in vain. I just want to say thank you for my 62 years on this earth. And thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you have in store. Lord, I'm willing and I'm able. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if I had 10,000 tongues, I just couldn't thank you enough. But with this one, Lord, I'm going to shout your name to the high. So I'm going to praise you, honor you, glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much for that. Excuse me, my voice trying to go out. Thank you so much for that blessed prayer. Again, thank you, Kathleen, for being on with us today. And for our viewers and listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And we pray that this conversation has been a blessing. And so I'm going to leave you all with this. Okay. This is something I close out with every broadcast. So if you're a regular listener, you already know what I'm about to say. Okay. But if you're not, just keep listening and you'll get it. Okay. But we must always, not just when we feel like it, not just when it's convenient, but we must always speak life. You all take care and be blessed.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Sherry Speaks Life podcast. I hope it was a blessing to you and taught you something new about speaking life. I would love to connect with you. Visit SherrySpeaksLife.com to learn more about my coaching program, my books, and other services. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Sherry Speaks Life. I look forward to chatting with you next time. Remember to always speak life.